Cause I can see your energy. And I'm waiting now your frequency to rise. Before you interact with me. Before you collab with me. Or try. Better get up on your frequency. If you tryna see me. Share the same space or breathe anywhere near where I be. Discipline stoners. What's your discipline? You a stoner? That's cool. So are we.
I'm high a lot. It's weird to finally say that with pride. I'm high a lot. Being high has helped me with my anxiety. It's helped my social skills. Well, it's helped me feel okay about my shitty social skills. It doesn't make my social skills better, but it sure does make sitting in that awkward moment in a social interaction a lot more bearable. You know, that moment where no one in the group has anything left to say, and you desperately want to yell at all of them, just say something. Being high makes that hilarious and not torture.
It's 11 from Anger Town. These plants just help me chill out. Found focus. Found confidence. All of a sudden I was productive. Less protective. More progressive. Yeah, we talk about stuff like I'm a next sommelier. But this is about a medicine, baby. We wish everyone a mindful life. It's been a helpful tool for us. Whatever the route to peace, it's each individual's journey. And the more we communicate, maybe we can all help each other out. Love and light. Welcome to Discipline Stoners Podcast. With your host, 11.
And my name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness.
And welcome back to another episode of Discipline Stoners. I'm your host, 11.
My name is Winnie, and we are the gateway drug to mindfulness.
And today, yo, when you talk about people who are really in this bitch, I believe is the scientific term, really in this bitch of cannabis, one of the friendliest faces that we just continue to connect throughout the industry, whether it be party, showroom, floor, brand meeting, deep connection, somehow a wonderful cherry vibration we keep meeting on. I want to introduce you to our friend and the very mysteriously elusive but semi-omnipresent all the time, Michael Elkin, the Canna Broker.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
I took that one for a freestyle rip.
Yeah. This was quite the triangle of good energy and
listen,
and love.
You are hard to get on record. So Thank you, this is quite exciting.
Yeah, for me too. This is a long time coming. I've been following you guys for a while, and like 11 said, being at the same places at the same time and finally having a time where we can sit down on a beautiful Sunday evening here in Toronto to just chat and, you know, not script anything and just understand like why we're all here, right? It's
is that what we're getting into? Goosebumps.
No, I mean,
no, you know, that's facts though. That's what we always get into.
I know. I'm just
I tell people, like, I hate thinking that like luck exists. I think that you can manifest time and be at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. Like, but we've been conditioned to think that, oh, it's so lucky that we're meeting here. And, you know, like I try not to think that the world is so small. I like to think that the world is big, and that when you find these amazing connections and you continuously see them over and over and over again, then, you know, you sign the friend contract, you know, you invest in the relationship. And we spoke about that, you know, before we started talking. If the energy is not received by somebody else, then it falls on deaf ears, right? You have to, you know, whether you're a friend in a relationship with a significant other, business, it's everything is a relationship. It doesn't matter if it's your garbage man or your CEO,
how do you navigate that when you need to pull back sometimes?
If it feels right.
Yeah.
I've been working, trying to reinvent myself over the last like 3 years since I had a personal divorce and going through COVID and stuff like
Word,
that.
Yeah.
Is is feeling instead of thinking. You know, this thing shuts off when I go to bed, and you know, my perception, but the heart keeps going. So if this thing is so alive, you should be able to use it to know when you're at the right place at the right time, yes. Know when you're not at the right place at the right time, you know, when business doesn't feel good, when friendship doesn't feel good. And working on that really over the last 3 years for me has been everything from a personal perspective. And now there's no real blurred lines. It's like, be the same person with the postman as you are with your mother.
Yep.
And then that way it's true, right? I always say the truth never changes. That's why honesty is so important. And it's to yourself. So yeah, I mean.
Dude, that's beautiful.
So what inspired that type of change within you? Because we can really get comfortable with just being mediocre.
Yeah.
You know, and allowing a lot of things to slide and really giving yourself a good pass for a long amount of time. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to, I guess, hurt enough.
Yeah, right?
That's
were you hurt?
100%. Yeah, and I had the word in my head, I was exceptionally mediocre. I was the best of a really good mediocre. I mean, at that time, I was, so this October is 10 years that I've been in the cannabis space. So it was coming off of CCI, which was a compliance company in the space that sold to Deloitte in 2019. And so I got complacent.
There you go.
Bro. That is a beauty.
That's a beauty.
Why do you think that happens?
To humans?
Why does complacency happen?
We get lazy and we give excuses to ourselves and we think more than we feel. You know, what I also try and say is this, everything is for me. I don't want to preach to anybody. I found something that worked through being in a really, really rough spot.
Intuitive guidance, it sounds like you're talking about when you talk about the heart. Instead of calculating mentally and cognitive outcomes and potential results, you're more feeling it, and does it resonate with your frequency?
And if you do enough work on yourself, that's what happens. You know,
there's no other way.
Right, but you know, you sit on the couch, you watch TV, you eat junk food, you sit on your phone.
Yeah, you're very healthy.
You're going to get the result that you want, which is lazy, complacent, not driven. Mm. I'm not saying that people can't do that. I'm saying for me, that's exactly what happened to me.
You know what I see when I look in your eyes now, and since we've met, and the thing that I recognize, and that's fun? Inspiration. Whatever you're working on, I know whatever partner you're with or whatever deal you're putting together, you're inspired for some reason. So it attracts people. When you're inspired, you almost trust that person to do the cognitive thinking.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like, this is great. And it's so nice to see that excitement, because that's exactly the opposite
passion,
of what
right?
you're saying you used to be.
100%. Well,
congrats.
I mean, yeah, and it's the people that I'm around and it's the people that I'm working with. I have nothing but the ideas that I form with the people that I work with. I have no shiny box. I'm not selling software. I don't have weed. I don't have, you know, X, Y, and Z. I have my network, my connection, and that's really what I do. I at this stage, thank God, I connect people, and it's amazing. We were just at the show, this past week, and a few people came up to me and they're like, "What is it exactly that you do?" And I was like, "How about we do this? You tell me what you do, and then I'll tell you what I do.
How I can help.
How I can help. You know, but I have this to do, I have that to do, you know." And I'm like, "Let's slow it down and just explain to me what you're having trouble with. And then let me see if I can fix that problem." And I only fix the problem by throwing another person at the problem, right? I'm not coming in there. I'm like, "Oh, my software is going to fix this. My software is going to fix that." It's throwing good people at interesting problems.
Oh, well said.
How's I just that? Gotta stop for a second with this joint.
That sucker is gonna oil.
Got a beautiful last tip that you brought. Yeah, how nice is that? Fucking we're fancy today.
You brought some goodies from the show.
Yeah,
that you
shout
were
out
at.
To everybody that was at Elevate in Etobicoke.
Who's this weed?
It's a bunch of different stuff that I put in a jar. But I think it's what we're smoking is Distinct, which is an LP from Alberta. And I
AB
met
got some heat coming.
Yeah,
out
I met
of
a really nice guy named Charlie who gave me that, and I forget the name of it. God, it's something three, but this is beautiful.
That's beautiful. Mm. Rolled up in a vibe.
Thank
pack.
You. Thanks for coming loaded.
With the gifts, bro. Love it.
You can't keep it unless you give it away, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you have a good connection and relationship with prosperity, it seems. You attract wonderful things. Like, you have a prosperous nature about you. And I wanted to ask about your relationship with meditation in regards to, like, manifesting realities of preferred outcomes.
Yeah.
Like, that, because you're, I think you speak about meditation almost as passionately as I do to me. And then when you were going off on me, I was like, no, it's me. Like, yeah.
Well, you mirror, like, we're going to, this is a giant loving, right? This whole podcast. You know, I love you. And I'd rather be where I am today than where I was yesterday.
Right.
And, you know, I was fortunate to have really, really good work ethic and values instilled to me, not by my parents, but a situation that I was in coming up, I think it was like 13 years ago. So I had to make some really, really shitty decisions in my life and put myself into really, really bad situations.
Really?
I don't mind diving into it, but, you know, I found myself in a facility in 2009 and, you know, part of the program and stuff like that. And I was taught, you know, sort of things about, like, meditation and, you know, journaling and how exercise is important. And
self-engineering, self-awareness.
Investment in yourself and, you know, knowing what you need to do. And I think I was a really, baseline, you know, really exceptionally mediocre, probably from 2009 right till the end of 2020. You know, I had the tools, I just wasn't using them. And then, you know, in December of 2020, I was a little over 200 pounds and no tattoos.
Okay.
And yeah, and I was in another situation where I was going to, you know, choose door A or door B. And that's really what set me on the path of where I am now, where I chose to search for what happiness was, because I definitely wasn't happy. I didn't know what love was. I didn't know what happiness was. And I found myself in a 9-year marriage with a 6-year-old daughter. And I had a six month old daughter at the end of 2020.
Wow.
And we were in COVID, and, you know, the way that everything broke down, I just was severely unhappy. And that's when I decided to go off on this journey of self-discovery, and what I call it now is this reinventing. That, you know, I knew reading was there, I knew I had to meditate, I knew I had to go to the gym, I knew I had to eat right, I knew I had to journal, I knew I had to shut the fuck up. That was one of the
I wrote a book with that title, Shut the Fuck Up. Thoughts and Feelings. It's the one book I wrote.
Yeah.
And it's about meditation. It's about shutting the fuck up, because that little monkey brain goes nuts.
It's the voice in your head that's telling you to talk. If there's no voice, you're listening. So, like, I've tried really hard over the past, coming up on 3 years, to take those pillars that... Like, I don't want to be exceptionally mediocre. I want to be exceptionally exceptional.
Yeah.
And you come across as that, bro.
Yeah,
you come
do.
Across
Holy
that
fuck.
Now. And the awareness and the times that we text, and, like, sometimes we'll text out of a meditation. Like, I'll come out of a meditation and he's texted me, or vice versa, like today. Yeah. Or I'll get an idea. And it's so cool to be tuned in like that. And I think 2020 was a special time for a lot of people to make that fucking choice. Like, everything the world was kind of worried about for 2012, they thought it was going to be a physical manifestation like that. 2020 was the spiritual energetic version of that.
Yeah.
Systems collapsing. There's two different timelines going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, those who have kept their physical manifestation on a higher vibrational timeline. And there are a lot of people who have just locked right into a lower frequency one. And, like, you see...
Oh yeah,
you know,
especially with, there's no middle with me. It's you're either like on top or on the bottom, and it's the fight for the middle is I don't even see it, and it's all around. But
because there will be lows with the highs, and that's
okay. Oh yeah,
you know, like, you get good things and you get perceivably challenging things, and it's like, I've been trying to practice stoicism recently.
Yep.
And just, like, observe my initial reaction as objective as possible, and, like, just explore me as, like, a character.
Yeah.
And, like, less like I'm stuck in the driver's seat of this movie of the ego.
Yes.
Yeah, intense. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, because the voice is talking. It's like, no, talk now, or like bring your ego in. And yeah, you can. I only am able to do that through like meditation, the gym, because I just get. So I was telling this today. Those are the tools that shut the voice in my head up.
Yeah,
and then being aware and slowing everything down. Like when you're in those moments where it's you're. Oh, if I can tell a quick story.
Please.
Last night I was in an Uber and the gridlock in downtown Toronto is absolutely bananas.
Isn't it?
It's nuts. It's
whoa. I feel like it's next level now. Yeah.
So the Uber driver's driving and it's gridlock. This guy's trying to come out one way and the guy in the truck starts going apeshit through the window towards the Uber guy. The Uber guy rolls down the windows. He starts yelling out his window. Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm telling this guy, I'm telling the Uber, roll up the window.
Yeah, don't, you know, beef. Don't,
you know, where are you in the moment? This guy's going to come out of the truck with a gun and shoot me, you know? So
yeah,
understanding, like, whoa, being aware, being in the moment, slowing everything down. And it comes with like not talking. But like I had to like train myself.
Okay, so this is where I want two things. I think you have something right in between your teeth here. I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, sweet.
Second thing was, let's go back to that moment where you're like, oh, I have these tools. I know what I need to be doing, because that's, I feel like that's the hardest part, is like I have things, I have knowledge now that I now need to implement, and like that doesn't happen overnight. Or at least I haven't seen it happen overnight.
Yeah, what was that journey like of implementing that?
Like it was a slow build. It was
what did you do? What did you read first?
For 12 Rules for Life. Jordan Peterson.
Let's go, yeah. JP, yeah. My man.
And I had not read a book probably my entire life. I was not a reader. I suffer from like severe ADHD.
Yeah.
So getting through like one book and then building the momentum of reading, you know, up to like,
so
I think I've read 59 books over the last 2.5 years.
Let's
and
go.
I hold that as a trophy. Like,
good.
I need those things.
Yes.
The momentum of the, like, it wasn't out of the gate. I didn't sit there on December 15th because I know the date when I left. So when I say I left my wife and my two kids. I didn't leave them, but I got out of the situation that was toxic.
Yeah.
I mean, I went down the street and I ended up living in a hotel. that's a story for another day, but like I left for me because I knew that like the situation wasn't conducive for what I was
for
looking
peace,
for.
Peace, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was in like reading the first book where he teaches you and he gives you like, it's all the stupid stuff that nobody wants to do, which is like read a book, journal, go to the gym, and then do that for like 3-4 years and maybe you'll have, you know, some type of slow build. So
isn't Jordan Peterson amazing? Like, he's helped me take so much responsibility. Like, he really talks a beautiful narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just need to go back when you said, and then do that for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think people aren't willing to do. But it, you know what it is? It's like I'm not willing to watch a series that is already 12 seasons deep and I have to start at season one.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
And so it's very, I think... it's hard to like really promote this lifestyle.
Yeah, it's like invest for a potential for clarity.
Yeah.
But let me tell you.
And the self-doubt is there, like
along the way.
But that's
so
what,
much.
But I love thinking, like I heard this the other day, if you don't have self-doubt, you're not actually changing. Like that is there, the ego is there to challenge you, that you go to your tools, right? And I'm gonna say it today, like I'm a very active guy. We all know that, we all see that. And anytime there's some type of slowdown with me, I still have like great tools. But, you know, like today was a perfect example. I knew I needed to rest today. So sat my ass on the couch, did some laundry, blah, blah, blah. But I, you know, when idle thoughts always creep in. And what do? I was like, okay, just go on the balcony, pop a meditation on for 15 minutes.
Yes.
And like, that's a tool. That's something that you use that's not there before, right? Like, that's the beautiful thing about like doing it for like 2-3 years and like not telling anybody about it is because like you have you stop telling people
about
things, right? And then the whole like your actions speak louder than your words, and you don't need to like tell anyone because then you have other amazing people who are also doing the same thing. So
yes,
yeah,
it also spreads the energy thin when you're like kind of talking about it too much. That's what it's like. I don't even be talking about my news. Like, yeah. You just keep it to yourself.
And then it's humbling and it's almost embarrassing when people come up to you. Like, that's something that I'm, and I'm not saying I'm some type of, you know, but it's tough. It's tough for, like, for me to accept when people come up to me like, oh, you know, like, keep, you know, your morning posts are amazing, or the fact that you're up at 5 a.m. and I'm like, I downplay it. I'm like, no, I go to that gym and there's the 40 or 50 other people that are also in there, right? So, like, I'm not original. Nothing I do, nothing I say is actually mine. It maybe, like, does,
but they're good choices.
Yeah
regardless. And
like, but man, choices. I did 32 years of shitty choices in my life.
Really? Yeah. Eh?
Yeah. Congratulations on some good choices.
Yeah. Feels good to be feeling good.
Yeah.
So then how...
It's incredible to me that we've only known good choices, Michael.
Oh, you've only known this version of me? Yeah. You're so lucky. That's what I tell people. Like,
because I love this guy.
Yeah, sweet guy.
Yeah, I was the complete opposite. I was a horror... Yeah.
Word. And then you got some tattoos once you had some breakthroughs.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool how that happens?
Yeah.
You want to wear symbols.
You do. And I want a map. And there's a like, I love that there's a story to anything that I'm willing to put on my body. And
totally.
So
how did you end up in cannabis and why are you still here? Because you're contributing in a huge energy to an industry that really needs us right now.
Really needs it.
But you know, it's sometimes hard to attract like bigger thinkers in this space. So
they're
like,
still there.
I'm grateful they're that there. You're here.
You guys are some of them.
I'm great. Thank you. Yeah. I think that we're all playing a wonderful role, and I salute everyone doing their part.
Yeah.
But you're such a vital and vibrant centerpiece to the community. And it's wonderful.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You connect a lot of people. So, like, how's that felt? How's that felt? How has being in the cannabis industry, the legal cannabis industry in Canada, how has it felt? How have you navigated it?
Yeah. Well, it feels the best it has today. Like, what I do now is the most enjoyable, probably successful thing that I'm doing. But how this all actually, like, formed... It really started in 2012. I was living in Montreal, and at the time, I was running a camera company with my now ex brother-in-law, and I ended up, you know, selling him the company, and then my wife's godfather asked me to move to Ottawa and do sales for his security company. So basically, I was going around selling, you know, cameras to retail stores.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So we moved to Ottawa in July of 2013 from Montreal. And
wow.
So I think it was in August or September. I'm driving to work one day and I hear on the radio, there's a company going to buy the Hershey factory in Smith Falls and turn it into medical marijuana. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And I live 45 minutes from Smith Falls. So I literally drove to Smith Falls and yeah.
Took action.
Yeah. In the moment, it was probably the best decision I've ever made up to that point. Cause I remember I didn't even want to move to Ottawa. So anyways, long story short, I drive to Smith Falls and I see the Hershey factory. And at the time, I was like, wow, they're going to need like so much security. So I ended up pursuing the owners of what was to become Canopy and what became Tweed. And, you know, I pitched this security company that, you know, we were local, and I learned all the regulations. And in October of 2013, I was in Hamilton, Ontario, doing another job. And I remember I get a call from Chuck Rafici, who was one of the founders of Tweed. And he's like, hey, you got your shot. We're about to install. We need someone to come and run cameras. We're about to start planting seeds. So I remember driving from Hamilton to Smith Falls on a cold October day. And we installed the first phase of the security system in Smith Falls at the Canopy facility. And that was like my first like seeing of being at the right place at the right time.
Introduction.
So from 2013 to 2016, I helped design and install about 20 security systems across the country.
Wow.
And so that's how I became close to John Fowler. I ended up doing the security system at 7 Acres. And then, you know, I met guys like Max Zavid and, you know, all the Auroras and Tilrays and Afrias, all those we ended up doing, you know, some type of security system.
Holy shit, dude.
And, And then at the end of 2016, I was severely burnt out. And we had our first child in Ottawa, and I remember getting a DM on LinkedIn from this guy named Brian Wagner. And he's like, "Hey, Mike, I also file applications, and I've seen your name on a bunch of security designs," because at the time you had to supply an application to Health Canada, and then you would get your right to build. So, and he basically pitches me the idea, and he's like, "Hey, I think we should start a compliance company that would just write applications for cannabis facilities." And I thought that was like super interesting, and I was exhausted from doing security designs only. Holy and like going and installing the cameras and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, we ended up starting what became Cannabis Compliance Inc., or CCI, in January of 2017. And I helped grow that company from 4 employees to 115.
Whoa, bro.
Yeah.
I knew you had some fucking deep
We wrote like 450 applications in 3 years. We were like the number one compliance company. We were writing applications in 10 different countries.
For someone who doesn't know what a compliance letter, why that's necessary for a business, can you fill in?
Yeah, like, so any type of controlled substance that we go in a building, you would need to supply an application that would have, you know, standard operating procedures, basically a manual for the facility. If you, you know, you have to supply a plan. Yeah, exactly. You have to have your cultivation plan, you have to have your SOPs, you have to have your quality assurance, and at the end of the day, these were like hundreds of pages, and we would have like teams that would write those. Whoa. And work with the applicants. So, you know, if you fast forward now in 2023, there's over 1,000 licensed producers in Canada. So we helped write about 450. And wow. Like I traveled all over the world. I went to Germany, I went to Israel, I made a second home in California for about 2.5 years.
Let's go.
I helped like work with, you know, I was working with Cookies, MedMen, some of the biggest brands in California.
Fuck,
from
dude.
2018 and 2019.
What did you do with Cookies?
We did a bunch of compliance with them, and then some business development.
Amazing.
They ended up like branching out, you know, I think to like 15 or 20 extra stores in that time that I was there in the state of California.
My God.
And we were working with cultivators, and we were working with the state of California as they became legal. So yeah, our firm was trucked around the world.
Whoa. This is gangster information.
You have to understand something. At the time, Canada was popping off. Everybody was...
Because weed became legal.
Any type of cannabis regulation that was going on around the world, their governments were calling our governments. And what was our like cannabis division of Health Canada saying? You got to talk to our growers. You got to talk to our compliance people. So you have to understand there was like one or two or three other firms at the time that were doing this. But I mean, like I said, from 2017 to 2019, we probably filed close to 450 applications.
Wow.
And by
half a G.
By mid-2019, we were 115 employees, and we were working, and we had this humongous office. And
where was the office?
The office was in Etobicoke, I think, but it's where all the pharmaceutical companies were.
Okay.
And so I think if you Google it, it's called Pill Hill.
Oh
and
my
like,
God.
So
cannabis
Pfizer is there, and like GlaxoSmithKline is there. And then there was like CCI, and we had, yeah, it's on. I have the pictures, man. Like we had the logo on the door, on glass doors. We had like 75 people working on the floor. Yeah, you have to understand something. We were charging $250,000 to file an application.
Amazing.
Yeah. So then in mid-2019, the company was sold to Deloitte. And it was the third time like in my career that I was presented with, you know, when I moved to Ottawa and got started doing this security for the compliance companies, then I left to do the compliance with CCI. I was either going to go work for Deloitte, or I was going to go work for another company, or I was going to go work for myself.
Yeah.
And that's when the end of 2019, I went to Vegas for MJ Biz, and I did a bunch of meetings with a bunch of people. And that's when I started to understand that I could work with people to solve their problems, to connect the dots, to,
yes,
you know, fulfill like what were they looking to do. And I knew enough people that I could talk to enough people. I would play the numbers game, right? Like Listen, I would listen to enough people and then I would present a proposal and I'm either in the budget, out of the budget, or it's not the right timing. So that's like really what I've been doing since December of 2019.
Incredible.
I work with a number of different companies and it's anyone from like a cone supplier to an LP to an automation company to someone selling genetics. Sometimes I work with companies for a month. I have clients I've worked with for over 2 years.
Wow.
So yeah, it's gotten to this point where like I'm blessed to go to these places with my people and, you know, I literally just like put everyone together and I'm like, okay, you guys are good here. I'm a cannabis matchmaker.
Yeah. Oh
my God. I'm like a cannabis whisperer.
Ralphie just crawled on you. That is so cute. As he's saying, he's a whisperer.
Yeah.
He's a dog whisperer, too.
Oh, my God.
Too.
Is that okay?
Yeah,
okay.
I guess.
That's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
You can put him down.
Listen, he likes your winner mentality.
Yes.
I'm glad he broke it up for me to ask a question.
Yeah.
So, that's 2019. And the 6 years before that, prior to that, it sounds like you had, like, a pretty insane whirlwind of, like, some extreme growth, like, career-wise. How is your health? Yeah, how's your health and mental health during that time?
Yeah, it was not. It was not what it was supposed to be. It was work.
Yeah,
and you know, displacing the marriage from like I was born and raised in Montreal, and all of a sudden I just get married 1 year and I moved to Ottawa, so that like was the starting of you know, I definitely didn't work on myself, so that's why. Yeah, it wasn't healthy.
Were you aware of it at the time, or was it just too much go that you couldn't?
I think by the time like CCI started, I was so grateful to be doing something like that because I had never experienced something like that, and I was always wanted the go. When I worked for the security company, that was kind of like my first real job. I was at the time. Okay, so let's. I don't mind. I can share anything on this, right?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's dial this. Let's dial this back a
full
little bit.
Honesty,
yeah. Because I feel like it's capping me. In 2009, August of 2009, I went to a drug rehab facility.
Yeah.
So at 32 years old, I was a homeless cocaine crack addict living, you know, in between places. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I was how that happened from 2000. I don't know. So. I used to be. we're gonna get so
thank you
lost.
Thank you for sharing, bro.
Yeah.
This is fucking amazing.
Well,
because
it makes it. It really like
no,
it leads to understanding like why I had that life decision in 2019, in 2020. There's so many dates. So, I made some really really shitty decisions. Because I had no foundation. I grew up in a really, really tough, not a tough like neighborhood, but like a tough situation when you know, a home life. You know, everyone has their problems and mine just like escalated to where I didn't make good decisions. And then at 25 years old, I used to be an actor. Yeah. So I know this is like all over. Well, I mean,
face.
Yeah, you guys know my brother, so.
Yeah, but just you. I can see it so hard.
So I was a really shitty. I was a really shitty student growing up, going through school. I never like loved school. And then what happened was, I went to university as a mature student. I got into the theater program because I had a lot of shit to put out there. And in 2002, I graduated from the theater program, and I immediately like went on auditions in Montreal. And I managed to score a movie.
Yeah.
And in 2002, I was 25 years old. And I did a Hallmark movie of the week.
Yeah.
No joke.
Yeah, MOV.
It was a Christmas movie with Linda Hamilton.
Bro, look up there. That's Winnie's. That's
That is so good. So that's ACTRA. Yeah, so I was actor. I got ACTRA, and I made a lot of money.
Aren't they so fun?
What?
Well, those movies.
Yeah,
I love them.
And I moved out of my parents. I was living at my parents' house, and I moved out, and I made a lot of money. I made a lot of shitty decisions, and then it just it led me to end up in a drug rehab in 2009. And that's where I met my now mother of my children, was in the drug rehab facility.
Oh, I love that.
It's a good story because it leads to two children. But, you know, if anyone watching and listening has been in recovery, the first thing they tell you is God help you if you find a girlfriend in recovery, because you're supposed to be working on yourself. And that's something that I didn't do. But that's where I had the foundations laid for, you know, what was it? 11 years later, with the choices that I make now, was what I learned, what I didn't put to use.
Yes.
Coming out of that rehab. So I met my now mother and my children in the drug rehab facility. We come out of that and immediately start dating. And that's when we end up like falling in what we thought was love, instead of like taking the time to work on ourselves. And, you know, and we hemorrhaged it. That's what our marriage was for 9 years. And, you know, there was some, from my perspective, some good times, but a lot of bad times, like a lot of fighting. And that's really what living in Ottawa was during the first portion of getting into cannabis, right? So when we moved to Ottawa, it was 2013. I had not had like a proper, like real job. It was like odds and ends. Living at my parents' house, coming out of like rehab and stuff like that. And when we moved to Ottawa, I loved this. I was like, oh, I'm part of a company, because I was working for her godfather in Ottawa, you know, for this security company. And then I fell in love with this cannabis space because it gave me some type of like purpose. And it was my first like whirlwind, right? It was like,
wow.
Here I am like running around to all these facilities. I never like really traveled because I was a freaking homeless crack addict. Not really, but really.
Wow.
That's what Ottawa was. And then, when the CCI was like out of a movie, like I had never in my wildest,
that's
wild,
incredible.
Yeah. Wildest dreams.
But that's what it does. Life does that. You're an extravagant soul. Mm-hmm. So when you came here, you made a deal with yourself that your time was going to be polarized ups and downs, and the bigs are going to be big and the smalls are going to be small. And that's fucking super cool for consciousness. Yeah. Consciousness is having a good time through you, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What an incredible journey. So that's why you're so grateful for life now.
That's why I'm so grateful for life now. I think I'm grateful for life now over what I've learned over the last 3 years, but everything... Like, I'm grateful for everything that I went through, understanding, again, when they say every bad decision still led you to that good decision because you are where you are. Yeah. And if you like where you are, then you can't fault what you've done.
Yeah. You got to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely have work to do on that in terms of forgiving myself.
Mm.
But, like, learning what forgiveness is and, like, being extremely specific in what you're looking for. Like,
I think you just got to get in alignment with your higher being, because your higher being loves you unconditionally. So it's like there's only the resistance with, like, not being able to, we label it as humans, like, accept ourselves or forgive ourselves or embrace ourselves. And it's basically just, like, tap into the perspective of your higher being, because you only ever feel out of alignment when you're out of alignment with that. You know? Yeah. There's like lots of work there to be done for everyone. I judge myself. I have fucking meltdowns still.
Yeah.
You know, and it's crazy. It's one of the hardest things to do, but it's worthy work.
Yes. Yeah. And it's hard. It's like, and especially when people still have stuff that's not, you know, looked into. Yeah,
it's funny when you see people who, and it's so beautiful, and thank you for sharing, those who raise others up so much or like purposely program the frequency high.
Yes.
Often there is, you've seen darkness and you've been through the goop so much in life that you're like, fuck that. You're like, fuck that. Like, I gotta make a choice right now.
Yeah.
And it's like right now. So that's beautiful, bro.
Yeah.
That's huge. It's true.
It is right now.
Because you can't get lost in all the other things. And it's, all you have is now.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing to do is stay in the moment.
I love that, though.
It's nice when you get annoyed about knowing that you're not in the moment, like observing that
you're aware that you're not in the moment. Yeah.
I like that too. Yeah. I do. Like, it's sometimes I'm like, well, fuck, there's nothing we can do about it now. Like, we're like, fucked for a while. Yeah. So just like get into it. But yeah. But sometimes it's like, okay, like that I can adjust like pretty real time.
Yeah.
But sometimes I can't.
Right. And what puts you in a situation like that?
You know, it's
usually us just fighting.
Yeah.
Not fighting, but like
it's so we don't fight anymore. We like get annoyed with one another now. We're in a phase in our relationship where it's just like it's not fighting. We're just like, can you just be better?
I'm like, so I don't get into time mode, but I'm trying to understand time more, but I'm like quite autistic. So I don't really know. I don't know. Like it could be 5:30 or 6:30 and I was setting up and she was at my mom's and she came back and I was just like in panic mode. I was just like short with her. And she's like, are you trying to start a fight with me, bro? So she snapped me right out of it. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. And she forced me to like almost look at myself and like be like, why are you feeling pressure right now? I'm like, well, you don't want to set up for Michael. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm so precious. And I was like, I wasn't even not feeling supported. I was just lost in a panicky time mode because I'm not good at time.
Right.
And then like she wasn't here to be like 20 minutes, which means this. She literally communicates the third dimension
more,
to me a lot.
More like structured.
She helps me understand structure a little bit
better.
I'm on a wave constantly.
Yeah, that's something I never had. I never had structure. Like that's what I feed off of now is like, I'm sorry, but I need to be disciplined.
You
and I need
become
to
become the other way.
Yeah. And that's
disciplined.
What I was.
This was stoner. Yeah, we do.
Drop a like and subscribe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love my discipline and my routine. It keeps me in line, and that's again what I didn't have. I needed more of that.
It's hard to not have discipline now that you have it.
It's hard to not have discipline now that you have it.
Right? Like if you don't work out in a day,
oh,
you're like that.
Unless you plan for it, like that's.
If that's
like
what
it's
you
scheduled.
Give yourself.
Yeah, like, I gotta give myself that.
For sure. But, like, even just, like, I keep some weights around or do some just, like, movement, like some yoga. Mm-hmm. I'll be, like, producing or something like that and get up and just, like, fucking rock a couple sets. Yeah. You know? Just, like, feel engaged with my body. And I feel like that discipline that manifests once you kind of push it up the hill technically.
Yeah.
And then it... The flow takes it over, and it's like forever.
It's unconscious.
Yeah, it's like you've worked it into your subconscious. How long did that take when you decided to make those decisions in your life from the intention of wanting to, and the flow of doing? How long did that take to implement these new things?
It's hard to remember,
right?
Like, because it's second nature now, and it's like it's. Fucking with the universe, like you can do it where you forget how long you've done it. So like that's how it becomes unconscious. Like you stop counting. It's just it happens. And then like the timing works out, right? Like if you I don't know, like if you don't know where a gym is and all of a sudden like you should have been staying here, now you're staying here, and then the gym shows up like right there.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, then you're like you need a rest, and it's a good thing that you didn't do it. So,
So you trust the science.
And synergies and synchronicities and the frequency of, and I always look for signs. I'm like, but I'm not like a freak about like I'm not.
You're not only there. Also in.
It's nice
this
to see
reality.
It. Like,
I feel you. No, yeah. I feel you.
So. And you're not, you know, sometimes when we're watching like shit about aliens online, the people who are talking about it doesn't make sense. A lot of times.
Right.
A lot of times you're watching them trying to justify what's happening and you're like, you're making this up. And that's okay. But like when you actually follow or trust you do see. Like
it's
pretty
like
wild.
It's the fact that it's straight down the like you could roll a bowling ball right through your house. Like you just know you're walking towards the right spot, right?
Yeah.
And then there's like a triangle that just pops out of nowhere. I'm like, okay. You know, you want to know you're at the right spot at the right time.
Yeah.
So it feels good.
Okay, I wanted to quickly go back on, I heard you when I was over there saying that you schedule rest, or what was that? Do you schedule you time?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if it's me time, but I like when I'm home because of the situation with my, with the wife and the, sorry, with the mom and the girls now. I have them every other weekend, so I don't usually go to the gym when I have them. So I'll usually, you know, exercise and stuff like that. And my schedule and stuff changes when I have them, so it's a nice balance. I know I'm not doing the same thing over and over. And then with the travel and, you know, all these trade shows that we go to all over the place, it's...
Do you, this is technical, do you, write your schedule down? Like, do you have a day planner?
No, I have a journal.
You have a journal.
Yeah, and that's something, like, I learned that is it doesn't matter if you just put the time that you wake up or you write three pages. The motion of keeping a journal is great.
Yeah.
A log.
Yeah, for sure.
It's something I've done for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't do that.
And you,
I should
you
do that.
Learn that. You can learn, and then, you know.
I do a gratitude list every day, yeah. And it sends me on a fucking sweet trip. And then I live stream or something, and then that acts as my video documentation of how
absolutely.
I am that day. But I know that there's magic to writing affirmation. I actually did that today. I did I am affirmations written today, like of things I see myself as. Yeah, that's powerful. But I think, I hear a log with a lot of great thinkers thought of that. You're like a... And you're like a curator of people. I want to switch gears here. When you're facilitating relationships, you're usually working with people that you like co-sign. Because people you bring together, you co-sign, which is a great move, but a dangerous move too.
Right.
Sometimes.
Or risky.
Maybe not dangerous, but like risky. Yeah. Sorry. That's right. Yeah. And I know that you live with your heart, so you know energy. So.
Yeah.
But like, what do you look for in a partner? Like, say if someone was trying to get on your radar, or like, just like, what is the kind of archetype? I mean, I guess that they vary so much too, right? But like, what do you look for in partners for people to have the opportunity to even be placed in a, you know, situation
on your
with
roster?
You?
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, like, you know, people and you have access.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you more about that later. Ralph, come here. On some Think and Grow Rich shit, like what are the consistent things that you see in successful people?
Yeah.
But like, yeah, what do you kind of, when you're out here floating the seas, what do you find yourself gravitated towards and what type of people?
There has to be like some type of connection from like an energy perspective. There has to be, they have to have something that I can help with right off the bat. And I usually know that in the conversation once we start talking. And you know, like we have to get along. We have to, you know, be able to like have a relationship that I'm thinking about their business when they sleep, right? And that, you know, we have to have the ideas flowing. And then, you know, I think it's always on the other end. I've had a really good like track record of understanding like what they're looking for. And yeah, what you said is 100% right. Like it's the reputation of both these people being put together, and knowing like not every deal is great. And then how fast do I feel or do I see that something's like either going awry, and do you have to like switch the way that we're doing it? Mm. Because at the end of the day, like I am like there to connect and, you know, start the relationship for like the revenue stream, right? Because if someone calling me up and they're like, hey, we have all these fire genetics and we're looking to sell them to into the space, I gotta know people on the other end that have the grow for it and essentially like put these people together. So
it's wonderful. Yeah. Like being a connector is such a necessary thing. There are entities that float around such as yourself in many industries and like, you know, and it's such an important role. Like great things happen.
And like not a skill that
it's
a lot of people can do.
You got to be very intuitive, but you also got to be like mentally calculated in a way if you're being helpful.
Yeah, and how are you dealing with people? And like, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, you're like working a relationship and in the middle of a relationship. That's why when people tell me they're like, oh, all you do is move weed. I'm like, actually, I don't move any bulk weed. I move people. You know, I move this person into this relationship and I connect this person
and
then understanding how the relationship goes. And I like stay in the middle of it as the two people like continue to grow that relationship. So, you know, understanding that also it's a numbers game with, like, not everybody is buying what everyone is selling.
Yeah.
But having the opportunity to have the conversation, really, that's what I'm looking for.
There you go.
Right? And then in the conversation, what else, like, spurs out of that? If they're not right for this person, could they be right for someone else? That's why I say I'll talk to anyone. And it's not that it's a bad thing. I'm like, you never know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like I'll probably make a movie about my life one day. And if there's an agent character, you got to play him.
Nice.
You're like a...
Jerry Maguire.
Like Jerry Maguire.
Would you be down to act again?
I would. I don't know. I kind of had that, like, sight, but... Because
you're a handsome devil.
Yeah. I don't know if I can read lines anymore.
Yeah, you're too authentic.
I want to get back into the podcast game, but I just don't know that I have the time. It's the same thing with... You know, I'm not actively looking for a relationship from another romantic relationship.
Right.
Because again, like, I want to make those decisions now where, like, I still have so much to work on myself and I see it. And that's like the biggest thing. Like, I have two baby daughters, 7 and 3, and like, they're the most important thing to me right now. Like, I need to make sure that, you know, they're seeing the man and the father that... is respectful and supports them and supports their mother. And
nice.
Yeah, that's why I'm all over the place, man. I got bills to pay.
You're out here.
They like their clothes. So
yeah,
and they like going shopping at 7 and 3. So,
yeah. Cute. That's good. You're good pops. So when you're constantly out here, you're investing time to go to these shows.
Yeah.
That's a big move, but a lot of great things happen there. We know that we've met, like, through, you mentioned Kind. I also think they do a good job.
Great job.
We're the first media. We gotta get a flight.
I know, God. They're
at the Winter Fair. I DJ their first Winter Fair.
Is that where you guys met?
No. I don't know where we first met. Oh, Cannabis, I think, first?
I don't know. I think it was something like that. But we knew of each other before we had met. So, and then there's my brother tie-in to you guys.
Holy, yeah.
That's what's even crazier.
Dude, Josh was one of the kindest, dopest dudes to me first in the game. We went to Playlist Live. We got in the same shuttle with Josh and Harley.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was the...
Yeah, like, me and Spam, I was there with Spandy, and my first year there in, like, 2015, I think, and I made a song for Spandy Andy that went viral, so then I got to go perform it live with him. I was partying with Harley and Josh that night, and then by the time we left, Josh was just always so fucking supportive. I was like, told him at the time I was worried about my age. Like, I was like 23, 24, because I wasn't 17. He's like, bro, Eminem didn't pull up to this. He was just always so dope. And then we did a song together even.
Yeah, that's what you told me, which is pretty wild.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he crushed it. And he loves to freestyle. So we were at Josh's birthday party one time in LA. I was there with Matt. And like, he was like, come in the bathroom, and like Eileen brings her friend in.
They're married
now, yeah. And then
I didn't know you know Eileen also.
Oh yeah,
this is really crazy. You're like part of the family.
Yeah, no, crazy shit. So there was a couple nice overlapping moments.
All over the place.
Yeah, I really am. It's crazy how we fucking are in the cannabis industry. If you come to think about it.
It's crazy that
we're here, like
a cannabis industry.
And then I got to meet another Elkin boy.
Okay.
And I have a question. So supportive. Okay.
I have a question.
Who's like this? Your mom or your dad?
Who's like what?
Who's so supportive and nice? Is it both your parents?
That's a touchy subject too.
Oh no, you don't talk parents?
Tough
times, man. Life is a wild ride, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Okay, I have a question.
Like, we weren't this like kumbaya family at all.
You weren't?
No.
It's gangster shit.
That's why like we're not
a
kumbaya family. No.
Yeah.
I said it the other day, you have to love them. You have to love them. You don't have to like them. And that's like kind of where I'm at. Like, I love them. I don't like them. And it's unfortunate and sucks to say. But like, you know, again, a relationship goes both ways.
Yeah.
And I'm able to audit myself today, right? I'm able to say I put a valiant effort. Because I do that with everything. Like, I'm not going to half-ass it. And when I started this whole, like, reinventing journey, whatever I'm calling it, like...
it's big, man.
And, like, I tell them, like, you don't read 59 fucking self-help books and don't know what you're talking about. That's, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not an idiot now. Like, not that I was an idiot before, but, like, I know what's going on. And they're the... You know... If you change and nobody else changes, I got news for you. They're still the same people. That world still lives there. And new Mike doesn't fit into that world.
That's right? Fair.
So this new individual, you abandon the old version of you, and now you are this new one. And me and Winnie talk about this a lot. As you evolve and change, the people around you have to accept the new versions of you and the new intentions that you're putting forth, or else the relationship has essentially expired.
Yeah.
Right.
And you have to navigate that with grace. Like, yeah, there's, they're like, you have to accept it.
Right.
Like, you have to accept that there's a new version of me and I'm trying to stick to that. So it can't really involve that, even though, I don't know, like, during the 10-step program, is part of it, like, reaching out or making right?
Yeah, you make amends, and, like, that's...
I've always found that difficult. It usually happens naturally sometimes, but, like, yeah, sometimes it's good just to move on to, I don't know.
Well, it's the toughest because it's the, like, you can choose your friends, you can't choose your family.
Right?
Like, that's...
True.
You have to be around those people, like... You got a bad friend that you don't like, you get rid of your friends, right? Like, you don't have to call this person, you can choose not to be around them. Yeah. But, like, you got to be around your mother and your father, your brother and sister, or you don't, like.
But it's still so, you're still that.
And you. I hate it. I wish they would change, but they don't see any change needed. That's the whole thing. They also liked old me.
Oh, wow.
Like, everybody was comfortable. When I left, it fucked everything up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Like, and the resentment from, my ex is still, like, 3 years later, you know. But, like, everybody liked what was going on except me. You know what I mean? That was the problem.
You gotta choose, like, yourself, bro.
I was like, I can't play this role anymore, right? Like, this is exhausting.
Bro.
And again, it was like the end of 2020 and we were into COVID. And I'm like, this is just exhausting. And I was like, I'm out. And I wasn't, like, out. Like I said, I went to a hotel and I was like, I was like, let's figure this out. And we stayed separated for 6 months. I moved into an old fucking age home in January of 2020.
No.
So in January of 2021,
what? How Quebec was that even possible?
Quebec was on quarantine. Like, remember we had curfew? Yes.
You guys were in a weird way.
So in December 15, when I left the first time, I went to a hotel. And after, like, 2 weeks in a hotel, I was like, wow, this is really going to be expensive if I'm staying in this hotel. So I started to look for, like, a short-term lease. Nothing, nada. All of a sudden, my mother calls me one night. She goes, okay, we found you a one-bedroom place in an old age home. I was like, what? and I was like, accepted it. I was like, okay, this is what's going on. I was like, okay.
Bring it on, life adventure.
I was like, okay. So the first sign that I knew something was going on is I get into this old age home, right? It's like, I'm there with, like, 89-year-olds and they're with their oxygen tanks and their COVID masks.
And you smell the Bengay.
Oh, you smell everything. But the building manager says to me, he goes, okay, your room's on floor number 8. And he goes, you can use the gym from this time to this time. He goes, the pool. And I'm like, look at him. I was like, what? The gym was fully open. The pool was open. There was a sauna. And I was living with 89-year-olds. I'm like, they ain't using the gym. Oh. They're not doing laps in this pool. So essentially, I had my own fitness center. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is the universe going, get up the fucking crack of dawn. Go to the gym and work out.
Yes.
And then I would drive from the old age home to my kids. I would take them to daycare and deal with, I had a 6-month-old at the time, right? So I was like, and run my business, right? I'm self-employed. I'm at this time a year into launching, you know, the Canna Broker. Wow. And so from January to May of 2021 was that 6 months was like, that's when I knew, I was like, oh, I can do this. When we talked about how do you build up the momentum, I had read a few books and I was like, oh, this is, and I started to be alone, but not alone. I was away. I was separated from the toxicity of the relationship.
You believe in yourself.
But I I contributed to a really toxic relationship. Like, it was not healthy for my kids. We were fighting. Granted, it was COVID. We had just had a six-month-old, and I don't even want to get into the story of how the baby was born, but it was really, really rough pregnancy. So yeah, it was like, in May, I tried to go back, and then that was the first time that I realized that if somebody changes and someone stays the same, you're really having the mirror in front of you. And that's when I told her, I was like, it's after like trying to go back, I was like, it's not going to work. And then finding my own place, and then realizing that like, this is the path that I have to go on, and realizing that it was for my children, that I knew that if we were to stay together, that we would have the real potential of making them like turn to substance. Because of the situation and the surroundings that they would be in. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I think I was like a dry drunk, and I was like a white knuckling addict. Like I was really unhappy. And I was like, you know.
What's a dry drunk?
A dry drunk is someone that just stops drinking. He's an alcoholic, and he just stops drinking.
Agitated.
Yeah, and he like doesn't do anything to try and get better. So, you know.
Yeah. No, you're good.
So they're called, I think the terminology is dry drunk, and for an addict, it's a white knuckling addict or something like that. Oh. But anyways, it wasn't healthy. So yeah, that was the path.
And your relationship with cannabis now is you're California sober.
Right? Oh yeah. I consume
cannabis. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's such a beautiful, and if you ever need to take a break from it, it's such a forgiving friend. Like, it doesn't give you the Jones, you know. Like,
no,
like sugar. I mean, I want to smoke a joint if I didn't the next day, but mainly just because my anxiety has now crept up, and I'm like, can you chill out?
Yeah,
and yeah, but no, and even it doesn't.
So, what's your go-to like when you wake up? You're doing.
I'm doing a cappuccino meditation. Smoking a joint, gratitude journal.
Nice.
That's my combo. My four hits to make. Do I sometimes get lost in fucking checking Instagram like an idiot? Yes, still I even make that mistake. Check my email, maybe see what's up. But don't turn those gears yet, dumb. Remember the universe first. You know, like honor that first. And if you're not, like for me, I'm like, I'm saying to myself, like, if you're not taking the time to honor that thing, you're lost. You're making the choice to be lost today. And like, if that's a choice you need to make, do it. But like, I don't think you're not going to like the way you feel by noon. So nip it in the bud.
It just happens so consistently every time. Like, I look at my phone too early too. It's just, it sets you up for disaster. Failure. For the rest of the day. It's crazy.
It sets me off. It used to check my phone really early, and then I'd be up, and I would be like, oh no, it's like 4 a.m, and I'd check my phone, and that's like what woke me up. So yeah, putting the phone away. And
we gotta be kind to ourselves.
It's even like, it's even if it's good news too, it totally spikes your body in like a just too harsh of a way.
Dopamine.
Like,
you need to fucking
the snap. You're up.
Yeah. Okay, I want to know out of your because you have taken in so much knowledge. Like I read or someone maybe on this show said this, I can't remember where it's coming from. We don't fact check here.
We don't remember our shows.
They said that every time you read a book, you're getting like a lot of times, I should say, you're getting someone's like life's work. Like it's 30 or 40 years of knowledge put in this book that you just received. So I wanted to ask you like what books have you found most impactful?
I love The Alchemist. That's one that I
what do you take?
I actually
from
got
the
a
Alchemist?
Tattoo. I take a tattoo.
Wow.
Yeah, so
wow,
everyone should read it. It's an easy and
yeah
short
I did
read.
It in one day I yeah. did it in one day and yeah, it's really it's
what
one
did
of the,
you learn from it
that when you think you have achieved your dream, it's not the dream, and that the dream gets better, and that there's something better on the other side, and to continue to search.
There's always more.
There's always more. Yeah.
Fuck, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And like hard times come, and their hard times are there to make you like persevere, and you know, everything changes for a reason, and yeah, It's a beautiful book.
I was we listened to a channeler called Abraham Hicks.
Hicks, yes.
Yeah. I was listening to Esther this morning. And
she's all through my music. You listen to the album, right? It's the female voice that's through the album.
Yeah.
She was saying, like, she's like, you guys like a little bit of drama.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, it's so effortlessly. She was like, you know that that's true. Like, you don't want to just get everything you want.
Right.
You think you want that.
Yeah.
As soon as that would happen, it would get boring so quickly. Like, we need to put in effort in our lives to feel fulfilled. And it's the effort of the journey. It's not even the destination.
Yeah. I went through some of the hardest health times the last like 4 or 5 months. I had a neck and back problem, and
oh shit,
that was amazing to get through that where I am. But yeah, it's
what did that recovery look like?
I'm still recovering. It was like physio. It was like the first time I ever did an MRI. I was in that much pain, and I had to travel through it. And yeah, to be able to like not talk, not that I wasn't talking about it, but not woe me. That's why I had like a lot of good people around me to support me. But like I was in Germany with this problem. There was days I couldn't stand up.
Wow.
I think I did 9 trade shows through the 5 months. I had 2 herniated discs in my upper back, and they're still there. I'm recovering, but.
Do you do exercise?
Yeah, stretching and. I like didn't lift a weight for like 4 or 5 months.
Fuck.
Yeah, and it was crazy. It was crazy. And I would, again, challenges, right? It's, and from going through that, I'll use what I learned there. I hope not tomorrow. I hope not in a year from now. But like those things give, you know, ammunition in your tool belt.
Totally.
And like I can remember, it's so easy and fresh right now for me to remember, like I can do a trade show. I did, you know, I just started healing it for last like 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah. So like to be able to like do a trade show, there were days I was at Lyft, when we were at Lyft Toronto, I had like salon pause patches on me, you know, like those medicated patches. I had like Tiger Balm.
You would have never known.
You would have never known, man. Pain.
Yeah, a lot of muscle relaxers.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like,
yeah, those, you know, are helpful.
Whether it's God or the universe, it's how you... respond, don't react.
Beautiful,
right? It's in the days of pain. It was like calm, and there weren't days that I cursed God, but there was days like I broke down and I was like, "Why?" I'm like, "Why am I going through this?"
That's brutal sometimes.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm doing everything right, but yeah, you know, but maybe you shouldn't have lifted that weight, or I understanding like how.
Do you know what caused?
Yeah, it was like it pulling a muscle and then not taking care of it, and then. There was like a run of like 2 or 3 things, a really bad 6-hour car ride back from 420 in Toronto to Montreal, and then just going back into the gym and not being calling myself so aware, but not saying like slowing down, and
you gotta stretch.
And then it popped, and then like it just got to the point where it,
I don't like that.
Yeah, and like being like so close to surgery, I remember doing the MRI and then getting the doctor is like, he's like, you're really close to needing surgery. And I was like, well, what are we going to do? He's like, you're either going to do surgery or you're going to go to physio. And I remember going to physio, and God bless this woman. She looks at me. She's like, I can heal you. And I grab her by the arms and the shoulder. And I go, I believe you.
Yes.
And we did like 6 or 7 sessions, and I'm not healed at all, but I'm not covered in salon paws. And I'm not like I have to like hold ice sometimes to stand up, and I'm back in the gym, and you know, some days are better than others, but
wow,
you know, trucking through it, like getting through these things.
Good.
Like I am not, and then going back to like the books that I read by like Joe Dispenza about understanding about you know,
supernatural.
I read that, and then being you're the placebo, right?
Yeah.
And you know,
dude, you're being it, you're living it, you're being the truth.
It feels so good to not hurt.
Oh,
you know, I know. Isn't that wonderful? Hurting.
God bless these people, like physiotherapists. We have a guy.
And acupuncture. Peter. I do acupuncture regularly. But still, even knowing and being more aware now, like I can't do these things. I'm also not a spring chicken. I am 46 years old. So jeez. I'm not in my 20s.
Guy.
I feel in my 20s. I've never felt better in my entire life.
Good. You look good, dude. Cheers to that.
Amazing.
Cheers.
More
cheers
life.
It's also Cheers. Jewish New Year, so Shana Tova and
yeah,
Happy Shana New Tova. Year to all my Jewish brothers and sisters.
Bless. L'chaim.
L'chaim. So that's me in a nutshell, guys.
Wow, that was bro. So good.
And
that
we'll be at magical. I'll be at Hall of Flowers. I'll be in Toronto for till the end of the week. Karma Cup is tomorrow.
That's right.
We'll I don't know there. If this thing is
it might good. Not be it might be the week of Hall of Flowers, so yes, oh, okay. This coming week, this Friday is when we release.
Oh nice.
This okay. drops, yeah, this is next, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what a fucking nice. Great chat, bro. Long yeah. time coming. What
I
a
hope beautiful I didn't, story. Like, I know we went off.
You
I
went, we went all off. The places like, I wanted to go nice. And cover
because I gotta like yeah.
I was deeply curious about your story, bro, and you like blessed us, man. Thank you yeah. so much. You're gonna
it's
continue.
A lot. It's no it's a lot.
You're gonna continue to do great things on the momentum. You decided not to take no for answer to life, and you're just rocking with it, man. Good things to
and
come.
Also like you're probably giving a lot of hope and inspiration to people that
yeah
maybe don't believe that they can
make that change, right, and become that fucking
and, but new it's
version.
Work
It's
right?
work.
Yeah,
it's work.
Yeah. Three like, but there, to four it's, years of journaling.
No. But it's, I'm telling you, like, if you think you're.
No, I don't. I know.
Not even journaling. Like, it's
the intention to evolve.
Yeah. And like, there, I've never understood what it means to look in the mirror Ooh. And see a completely different person. And like, to have that and know, like it, yeah, self-worth is so important. And like generating that and what the like spawning amazing people like yeah. from that energy.
Yeah.
Right.
You align. You align yeah. to that frequency and those things show up. The people show up. The things show up. The experiences show up. It's beautiful.
And like.
There's been so many bangers in this episode.
And like listening more than you talk.
Oh yeah.
Listening more than you talk. Like learn to. Yeah.
That's a challenge.
Stand up straight, eyes out, because then you see other people that are standing up straight with their eyes out.
That's
and you make that
true.
Eye connection.
That
I like to think when I'm looking on the street and I'm aware enough to not be in my phone and have my shoulders back and looking up, and you make eye contact with someone,
yeah.
I go, I'm like, they're in my movie. Like
it's a delight.
They yes. know who I am, right? They're
yes.
playing that part, you know.
Like yeah.
They're co-signing my I'm amazingness.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm amazingness.
I'm amazingness.
Co-signing my amazingness. That
yeah.
might be the title.
You should just say thank you to every person that you make eye contact
yes.
with.
Yes.
Thank you.
Say thank
right?
you.
Right?
Gratitude.
And
gratitude.
Ask someone their names because someone's name is the sweetest music they can hear.
Aww.
I read that.
Oh,
I read that, but that's
beautiful.
That's why, like, yeah, no one asks anyone's names.
Yeah,
that's important too.
It's so important.
Yeah, and eye contact is yeah. beautiful.
All right.
Okay, bless you, bro. Bless thank you, bro. You so much.
Thanks so much. That was
thank
so
you.
Nice.
More to come.
Remember to smash that like button. And then subscribe and send this to everyone.
Screen record it. Yo, Canna Broker exclusive, bro. This
yeah.
is
follow me on
knowledge.
Instagram at
the
Canna Broker. Right. I am super shadow banned. And I do trying to do honest reviews of cannabis every Monday.
I love
I've done,
it. You're being
I've done
hard.
Five.
You're hard ass.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had some I have to do some re-reviews because some people are like, no, here's some like fresh flower. So yeah, watch your package dates, everyone. Watch your package dates. That's a little tip for the industry.
Oh, I'm gonna go look
no,
at
yeah.
watch these.
Brutal honesty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right. we'll link that in the description below.
But spell Canna Broker if someone's listening.
CANNA, so that's CANNABROKR. I lost the E.
There's no.
No, but it looks
There's
cool.
No
it's
e.
swaggy.
Right. Yeah. I put it in my last name, Elkin. Boom, boom. Popped it.
Discipline stoners.
Thank you, bro.
What's your discipline?
Bye.
Bye.
You a stoner? That's cool. That's cool. So are we.
I'm high a lot. It's weird to finally say that with pride. I'm high a lot. Being high has helped me with my anxiety. It's helped my social skills. Well, it's helped me feel okay about my shitty social skills. It doesn't make my social skills better, but it sure does make sitting in that awkward moment in a social interaction a lot more bearable. You know, that moment where no one in the group has anything left to say, and you desperately want to yell at all of them, just say something. Being high makes that hilarious and not torture.
Yo.
It's 11 from Anger Town.
Giraffes!
plants just helped me chill out. Found focus, found confidence. All of a sudden I was productive. Less protective, more progressive. Yeah, we talk about stuff like I'm a next sommelier. But this is about a medicine, baby. We wish everyone a mindful life. It's been a helpful tool for us. Whatever the route to peace, it's each individual's journey. And the more we communicate, maybe we can all help each other out. Love and light. Welcome to Discipline Stoners Podcast. With your host, 11.
And my name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And that's Ralph. Cause I can see your energy. And I'm waiting on your frequency to rise. Before you interact with me, before you collab with me or try, better get up on your frequency. If you tryna see me, share the same space or breathe anywhere near where I be. If you tryna get by, then your vibe gotta rise. Yeah, I'll tell you when.